So I'm going to use some names to talk about some movies that many of the young will understand. Some of the elders might not. So I'm a big superhero movie fan. I love some of the superhero movies out. In particular, the last couple Avengers movies. There was a good guy, and I'll preface that in case you don't know the names, a good guy named Doctor Strange, and during the last part of, this movie, he envisioned over 14 million different results in fighting this big Thanos villain in which there was only one possible outcome to win. And during this movie, after giving what appears to be one of the winning pieces to defeat this villain, giving it away, the other superheroes are questioning this Doctor Strange for doing this, and he tells his fellow hero, Iron Man, that we are in the endgame now. And the movie ends with what appears to be the defeat of half of all living creatures in the universe. It appears that that was a loss, that mankind lost to this great villain. Well, in the final movie, the endgame movie, in the final battle, Doctor Strange again communicates with Iron Man in the heat of battle as he's fighting this great villain, indicating with a single finger raised out to this hero that this is the winning outcome, that this was the battle that would completely win. Now, in trying to stop Thanos, this great villain, all of the heroes over the past decades or whatever that had come into the movies, they were all trying to stop him from acquiring this big weapon. And the heroes, though, were all fighting, all of them were fighting for the wrong goal. This Doctor Strange, when he looked at all these permutations, understood there was a greater goal, a goal of sacrifice that was necessary to completely and to permanently remove this great villain, which required the death of Iron Man. And one thing I really liked about this final set of movies was kind of the idea of this freely given sacrifice for others. This idea of sacrificing for a greater goal to be accomplished. And there are a lot of Christian websites that try to find Christ in everything that's ever been published, which I don't always agree with. But this series here really kind of, and it's a Judeo-Christian ideal that we've all, much of this culture has grown up with, knowing about Christ, knowing about the Bible. So you sometimes see these themes in popular movies. But this idea is kind of the basis for all of Christianity. They touched on something very powerful that we all are trying to live towards. Christ, when he was here on earth, lost his battle to stay alive. He failed at staying alive and defeating sin in that way. He even prayed to the Father, if there is another way, if it's your will that we change, if there's something different, can we do that? But he suffered, he died, in what appears, what many might have looked at that time in his day of, well, it was just another prophet that lived and died and failed. But we know that that was something different. We know what Christ did was the only way to permanently overcome death. His sacrifice, what he did for us, for mankind, was mirrored in some, like that popular culture movie of understanding that it took more than the sacrifices that had been placed in, that the Jews had been following for all of that time. It took a the greatest sacrifice, which has been destined to overcome death. As we know, Satan will be put away because of Christ's sacrifice. But, you know, mankind, time and time again, as we read about all through the Bible, has tried to overcome that natural state, to try to overcome the consequences of sin, and mankind has failed continuously. As soon as mankind was created, as soon as Adam and Eve walked this earth, walked through that garden, they exercised their free will and ate of that forbidden fruit. Adam and Eve's goal at that point for success was completely wrong. It was temporary. It was fleeting. It didn't last or didn't end in permanent life, it ended in their soon their death of that time. They chose what they felt was right in their eyes and disregarded everything that God had taught to them up to that point of staying away from that one tree. They saw a different way to try to overcome and conquer what they saw was finding life, finding beauty, finding everything that Satan put into their ears of what that fruit would give them. You know, that same tendency that started with our great-great-great-great-grandparents envelops mankind today in a much, much more dastardly way, especially to those that are professing Christ. Too many focus on those sayings that are passing and not on those sayings that are eternal in order to try to reach eternal life. You know, just love Jesus and you'll be saved. That's it. Just show that love. You know, that focus is not on Christ, it's on the self. Just like Adam and Eve and choosing what seemed to be the quick and the easy path, the path that looked good to the eyes. That's what Christianity has been deceived into thinking since the beginning. But Christ's own words show something quite different. Matthew 27, starting in verse 37 and going to 40, I'm reading out of the New International Version. And this is Jesus speaking, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." But he didn't stop there. He didn't stop with saying, "Well, just love and you'll be good." He went on, and the second is like it. "Love your neighbor as yourself." All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. There is more to achieving the true victory than just choosing what might seem simple, what might seem good, and what might seem simple to man. You know, we always have to keep in mind the fact that we aren't capable of reaching God on our own. We can't simply profess something and hope that that will lead us to true understanding, to be part with God's family. Proverbs 16:25 shows this. "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." And that same principle that Adam and Eve found that was written about in the Proverbs, that way ends in death if it seems that it's man's way. You know, the ability to come before the Father and petition him for help, and most importantly, and be heard by the Father when we petition him for help, has been given to very, very few throughout human history. Squandering this ability because we think that we've found a better, maybe a self-seeking way to godliness, ends not in life, but in darkness, in destruction, and in death. Matthew 7 and verse 13. "This way is not easy, because there is one way that we can reach perfection." Matthew 7 and verse 13. "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by in it." And that is showing what this world is, the state they are in now, trying to find the way. "Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Brethren, we have found that way through God's Holy Spirit, through God working with our minds, opening us up to this understanding. You know, it's easier to try and control what we see than what we must have faith to understand and to believe. That's why it's the narrow gate. That's why it's the difficult path, because it takes faith and it takes God's opening our minds up and our eyes up to understand, to even have that faith. But you know, the Jews in Christ's time had become proficient in doing just that. The law became their God, and they forgot justice, mercy, and faith, as Christ exclaimed to them. They were took it too far. They were fighting for the wrong goal, and they forgot those basic things: justice, mercy, faith. You know, the world, as we see it, is not salvageable. We cannot fix what Satan has so completely broken. 1 John 2. First John chapter 2 and beginning in verse 15. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world or the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lusts of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. That is that path. That is that difficult in that narrow path that we must fall after. We must have hope if we're going to conquer sin in what is lasting, not what is temporary. Reading out of Romans 8, verses 22 through 24, out of the NIV version, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? We have to hope for those things that are eternal, those things that are in front of us, those things that we have to have faith to see. Becoming part of the family of God is the hope that we must base all of our desires on. Brethren, there is one way. Christ said it quite succinctly, John 14 and verse 6. Christ's own words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Brethren, each of us has one choice. We have one path that we must follow. So, brethren, make sure that we are fighting for the right goal, the goal that leads with becoming part of God's eternal family.